17 to 8, you are listening to Sabah al Muslim Lifetime on Radio Islam International. I made mention earlier on about Helen Ziller's book, Not Without a Fight. Some reviews have been written already, some comments have been made. It's definitely a gripping read. And joining us this morning on the line to discuss the book is Helen Ziller herself, Western Cape Premier, as well as former leader of the DA. Helen, as always, thank you so much for your time. Good morning and welcome.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you very much on this magnificent day. I'm just getting into the car, so all my things are here. But I can talk at the same time. I can multitask.
Yeah, I think you've learned that multitasking thing very well.
Yes.
I must congratulate you first up, Alan. I mean, I bought the book on Amazon on the Kindle over the weekend, and I struggled to put it down. I really appreciated the frankness and the, you know, the very open way in which you discuss sensitive issues. There was no tiptoeing. There was no beating around the bush.
Well, if you're going to write a book about your life, you might as well be honest.
Mm.
Because there are lots of people who know exactly what it was from the inside, and you can never fool yourself. So you might as well write a book that future generations will understand what we were living through, will understand my strengths and weaknesses, of which there is a good account on both sides, I hope, and will understand the issues we were grappling with at this stage of our history.
Hmm. Now, apart from the usual reasons that prominent people usually write autobiographies or their memoirs, was there anything else beyond the usual reasons that motivated you to write the book?
Well, a very simple motivation was the fact that I was asked to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And Penguin Random House came along to me and said, we would like to publish your memoirs, and we've got a deadline for you. And I love a deadline. I'm a journalist. So they gave me the challenge of a deadline, and I met it.
The title, what was the thinking behind the title? Not Without a Fight.
When you get to the acknowledgements, you will see that I credit my husband for coming up with that title.
Mm-hmm.
Because one evening we were sitting watching our favorite TV show, which is Borgen. It's about a woman in Denmark who, quite by accident, became the prime minister. And she is called Borgen, and she has all of these battles and all of these struggles that she has to face. And one day one of her advisors says to her, it's unlike you to give up without a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband turns to me and said, my goodness, I could have said that to you. In fact, why don't you make that the name of your book, Not Without a Fight?
Mm-hmm.
And then we had it.
Was there any aspect of the book that was personally very difficult for you to write about, to put out there in the public? Was it the postnatal depression thing, or was it any of those personal issues?
Yes, the personal issues are always hard to write about, especially as you're going to put it all out there.
Mm.
I think the most difficult chapter to write was chapter 2, which was about the years of growing up and the challenges, especially that my mother faced. She suffered from very severe and very repeated depression, and obviously that had an impact on our whole family. She was a wonderful woman, highly sensitive, very principled, absolutely magnificent human being, but she really suffered for those attributes in this world.
This thought crossed my mind as I was reading certain chapters of the book, especially the chapters that dealt with what was happening within the DA at the time of the so-called marriage with the new National Party, the chapter that dealt with Lindiwe Mazibuko, with your quest to become mayor of Cape Town, the difficult relationship with Tony Leon. I see one of the reviews describes it as going beyond expectation in dishing dirt on what happened within the DA. Well, was that difficult for you, keeping in mind that you're still politically active, you're still the premier of the Western Cape, you're still there within the party, you still have to face these individuals, some of them at least, on a fairly regular basis?
Well, I don't think I dish dirt. I explain what goes on inside a political party.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens in all political parties. What makes the DA different is the fact that we have systems, processes, structures to deal with it. And we have very tough electoral contexts and contests, but when we have fought them, people accept it and move on. But politics is a very tough arena, and there are no parties that don't have these huge internal battles and challenges. That's the name of the game. It's the nature of the beast. And the DA is no different, except that we manage them far, far better because we have proper internal processes and structures.
Do you anticipate meeting some of your colleagues from the DA who would say, Helen, did you really have to mention that? Did you really have to make reference to what I did or what I said?
Well, maybe, but then, you know, they can always have a right of reply.
Mm-hmm.
We're a free country and people must be able to express their views. And in this free country that we have, it's absolutely essential for people to be able to write honestly about their lives and how they remember key events, and other people have the right to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. What I was particularly interested in, a question that came to my mind, and I actually made a note of it whilst I was reading, is someday this secret group of advisors, do they still exist? Do you still lean on them from time to time for advice?
We don't exist as a regularly meeting group at all. Mm-hmm. That was just during a particular crisis time for the DA when we were very worried about the future direction of the party. We had to sit and meet every week or every 2 weeks at most to sit and strategize about how we would save our party from becoming a racial nationalist party, which we really wanted to avoid. I see those individuals all the time. I see them almost on a daily basis. And we've got a very good relationship, but we don't meet on a regular basis.
For those people who haven't yet read the book, Helen, how would you advise them? With what mindset or with what approach? What should be uppermost in their minds as they pick up the book? What should they particularly try and glean from your life story?
Well, everyone will glean something different. You know, I've had my challenges in my life, so women who suffer from postnatal depression may get something quite different from people who have an eating disorder, or quite different from people who have a sibling with a disability or who have a disability themselves. And then people who are in politics, people who have to vie for top office, people who have to deal with deviousness, they all take something different from the book.
You mentioned up front that this book deals with the two strands, the personal and the political journey. There's still that other aspect, and that is the building of institutions that could maybe perhaps make for a third book. Was it because your political career is still ongoing? You're still the premier? Is that why you perhaps are opting to write that at a later stage?
That's part of the reason. I am still a premier, and I've still got a lot of work to do in governance in Cape Town and in the Western Cape. And I hope that I've got a lot to give the DA's future attempts to build governments throughout the rest of the country, because I think that that is inevitably coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot that I can still do. But the real reason that I didn't include that in this book is that it would have been too long.
Okay.
I had to cut out quite a bit to bring it down to what it is now.
Final question, and I know you have many interviews lined up and you're still very busy. Now that you're no longer the leader of the DA and looking back at these recent elections, the kind of results that the DA has enjoyed, do you feel vindicated stepping down when you did, handing over to Musi Memane? Are you relatively happy with the current state of the DA and where the DA stands in terms of the political landscape of the country?
Yes, absolutely. I took the right decision at the right time. It was fortuitous and the result of a confluence of circumstances that I explain in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the perfect decision at the right time, and I'm delighted at the state of play in the Democratic Alliance right now.
All right, Helen, thank you so much for your time and all the best.
Shukran, it's such a pleasure. Have a good day.
You too. That was Premier of the Western Cape and former leader of the DA, Helen Zille, giving us some perspective on the book that she's written, Not Without a Fight. It doesn't matter whether you like Helen Zille or you don't. It doesn't matter whether you support the DA or you don't. It's simply a case of getting an understanding of what happens behind the scenes, and being a person who deals with political issues on a daily basis in the interviews and that kind of thing. I found it very gripping because we were reporting on these issues. You know, we were discussing these issues. We were analyzing these issues, whether it be the tension between her and Tony Leon, the time when she became mayor of Cape Town and holding that coalition, the time when Lindiwe Mazibuku was pretty much anointed by her, and then how that went south and how that relationship soured. Mampila Rampele, I mean, who would forget that, ahead of the national elections in 2014. And then she goes into great detail explaining these things in a very frank way, just explaining, no tiptoeing, I mean, just explaining and giving the details, even when it reflects negatively on her own colleagues within the DA. Personally, if you ask me, I think she's going to have one or two uncomfortable conversations with people within the party. But probably her stature is such as a former leader, as someone who was on the top for so long, I don't think it'll bother her too much. But there would be some people who would say, hey, you know, these things that you said there in the book about us, they have a right of reply, as she said. But it's gripping read for those people who have an interest in that regard. It's now 8 minutes to 8.